Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Welcome on into First Take, a dreary Sunday morning as we get ready for the Saints kicking off against the Atlanta Falcons.
What are you talking about? I'm downright chipper.
The weather outside, at least, Jeff.
Yeah, that's true.
I think a little bit of sadness from last night in Baton Rouge carrying over to today in New Orleans with the weather. Hopefully the black and gold don't suffer the same fate as the purple and gold did last night against Alabama.
I mean, the only thing that matters to me is there's a tiger on the sideline, right? That's the most important thing that we should be worried about in this state, right? Now is there was a tiger.
I'm seeing hashtag blame Omar out there for crying out loud.
No, it's not the tiger's fault. The tiger is just a product of we don't need to get into it.
No politics here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Let's talk about the Saints.
This team, obviously, big deal this week. You started it out with firing of a head coach. The next day, you deal away the top piece on your defensive side.
Yep.
And now you've got an interim head coach and Darren Rizzi running the show, going into a matchup against your hated rival, the Atlanta Falcons, who just so happen to be leading the NFC South. A big positive, I think, that fans can look forward to going into this game is obviously the rivalry game. You got to at least beat your most hated team in the NFC South in the Dirty Birds. But you also have something where you can see some history today, obviously, with the black and gold and stud Alvin Kamara about to break the team's all-time leading rushing mark.
Yeah, it would be nice if that conversation could be had in a positive way after the game.
Yeah.
The nice thing is he's like 11 yards, 12 yards away, so it'll happen in the first half before, if this game gets away from you, it'll have gotten away from you. So
yeah.
I bet they'll kind of pause for a few seconds and recognize it on the boards. And, I hope the Saints get the ball first. That's like the first thing that happens. And if it goes the way the last couple of games has, it'll happen on the first play. Because the last two games, his first play of the day was like a 20-yard run and a 23-yard run.
Right.
So we could get this out of the way early. And that would be
first
nice.
Touch.
That would be nice because, like, you know, before anything potentially negative happens in the game, we have to talk about it. We just get that, you know. And I think Alvin's probably in his heart of hearts very glad that he didn't do it in Carolina in that kind of awfulness. But
celebrate it at home against your rival.
Yeah, I think he'll feel a lot better about it if it comes in a win, and I think everyone will feel a lot better about it if it comes in a win. But that's kind of where you're at, right? And you know, there's been kind of a vibe shift. Alvin was named a captain by the team this weekend, which...
Raise your hand if you knew he wasn't.
Yeah, you would assume he was, but those are team-voted positions, right?
So you can't start blaming DA on this one.
Yeah, we'll ask Darren about it after the game. I imagine this was a Darren Rizzi decision. I would expect it's just like, you know, part of the job team captains have is like relaying the vibes of the team to the coach. And like DA talked about, you know, he has monthly dinners with the captains, and that's part of the conversation is like, okay, I can't be in every single meeting room with all of you guys. I need you to give me that insight.
Yeah.
And Alvin, I think, is just a valuable resource, and I think Darren at this point, Riz, wants every amount of every detail that he can get as he tries to put the thing back in the right direction, because he's changing a lot. That's what we talked about this week is, you know, I think Darren kind of looked around and said, anything that's being done that we don't have a good reason for doing it the way we do, and it's just, hey, we do it this way because we do it this way, he's going to change it. He's going to make guys feel a little uncomfortable. He's going to make guys aware of the fact that things have changed. And I asked Derek about you know, hey, does changing sides of the field at practice, because that's one of the things Darren did, is he had the offense and defense switch sides of the field, and he joked that they've been doing it that way since Bobby Hebert was quarterback.
Hey-o.
And I asked Derek if that actually matters, and he kind of said, like, yeah, it does, because you kind of get in this feeling of Groundhog Day over the course of time where you're doing the same thing every day. You're stepping on the same patch of grass at the exact same time every Wednesday. And especially when things are going bad. When things are going good, yeah, keep doing the same thing, right?
Right.
Keep building on that, because that process works. When you've lost 7 games in a row, you don't want to keep doing the same thing. You got to kind of, you know, why are you in a rut? Because you keep walking in the same circle over and over again until the ground goes away beneath you and you can't get out of it. Eventually, you've just got to step out of that rut and walk on a different line and create a different rut.
I love that Rizzy mentioned the fact of the Dunkin' Donuts commercial of the guy waking up in the morning and make the donuts. A commercial I'm pretty sure was down here as well, but I know, obviously, being a New Jersey guy like the Riz, that was something that I remember growing up. And remember just the Dunkin' Donuts guy, and it was like this mundane task of, oh, got to wake up again in the morning, time to make the donuts.
Well, I mean, when I moved down here, I was like, where are all the Dunkin' Donuts? Like,
oh, that's right. You're a Northeast guy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, like, in my hometown, I could count, like, 50 of them. With it. Like, there's, like, every square mile, there's a Dunkin' Donuts with a drive-through. And I'm like, sure. Oh, I guess I'll get another coffee, right? I think the rule was, like, if you bought a franchise Dunkin' Donuts, you had to buy three either way.
It's kind of like Starbucks.
Yeah, but no, you know, I think even just that as an example of, like, Darren relates to people. He relates to players. He, like, I think that there's a personality there that is very helpful in these trying times. Right? And so we'll see. I hope that brings some energy. And I don't know if that energy is going to last for the course of this season. You know, a lot of times you'll see an interim coach take over and suddenly, hey, this is a different ball club. This is a brand new team. You look at what happened with the Raiders last year. Brandon Staley gets fired. Antonio Pierce takes over. And that team really bonds together and wins a few games. If you go back to a staff Darren Rizzi was a part of out in Miami in 2015, Dan Campbell takes over for Joe Philbin. That happened in week four. That happened early in the season. They're 1-3. Dan Campbell takes over. They immediately win their next two games, right? So there is – now they lost like 7 of the last 10 games. So it's not all good.
Right.
But there is kind of that idea of, hey, you change coaches. There should be this kind of groundswell of community within that room, within that team, because it's like, hey, we're all still together. We got to fix this. And so we'll see. And you know, there's going to be a lot of conversation as the season goes on, if it goes well, of, hey, does Darren have a legitimate job to retain this job? And we've seen that in Louisiana before, right? We saw it with Ed Ogeron. And he did enough in that stint, taking over for Les Miles. Foster Morrow was on that team. He could tell you a lot about it.
Right.
To retain that job, and it went well until it didn't. But you went and won a national championship with Ed. So
not too bad, right? You'll take that.
And Ed's kind of a similar guy in the sense of, like, he was never an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. He was a vibes guy. And I don't say that negatively. I say that in the sense of, like,
recruiting guy, right?
Yeah, like, you're bringing the team together. Your job as a head coach isn't always to call the plays. It's not always to coordinate a defense, design a defense. It's to make sure that you have the right people in the right places jobs well. And when you can do that, things go really well. When things start to fall off and it's like, well, I can't fix anything specifically, then it becomes kind of problematic. But, you know, I'm hopeful that you're going to see kind of a renewed vigor with Joe Woods leading the defense, with Clint Kubiak still kind of doing his thing. You know, you have Brian Young leading the pass rush now. They moved Todd Grantham into an advisory role to help out Joe Woods. You know, I think if nothing else happens this season, but you get kind of a energy boost this week and beat the Falcons, I still think people will look at Darren as being like a savior in that in that idea. So we'll see. I think the first thing you need to do is end a losing streak before you can think about anything after it. And hopefully that happens today.
You were talking about, obviously, a lot of the changes that Rizzi has made, one of those being the locker room, getting the position groups all together. He talked about why he decided to change that layout in the Saints locker room.
I just felt like, you know, we had guys spread out all over the place. And here I am trying to preach, you know, bonding together, circling the wagons. And here, you know, we got guys kind of spread out. So I just thought it was a good little change of pace to break it up by position. Very, very well received. There's some guys who've been in their locker for quite a long time. So that got a little uncomfortable. But listen, we got to get comfortable being uncomfortable, you know. And so that's where we're at. We're in an uncomfortable position. And so, you know, I thought it was really good. Like I said, really well received. The guys really loved it, being kind of with their position groups. You know, the O-line comes out of a meeting, and then they can go into the locker room, and they're all there together. They're not spread out all over the place, and they can communicate and talk about, you know, what they just installed. And that's just an example. It's just one example of many. And so just thought it was a good change of pace.
You mentioned that difference, too, of practice. You walk out there, and all of a sudden, it's flipped. The defense was on the far, the near end, and the offense was put on the far end where the media is. And Rizzi mentioned about flipping that at practice.
Just a little cosmetic change that want things to feel a little bit different. I think the offense has been on the far end since Bobby Hebert was playing quarterback here. So we just switched it up a little bit. And I tricked some guys today. I had no idea it was coming. And all of a sudden, we had the individual group set up, so I was joking around with that. But, again, just a different feel, different vibe. Here we are in the second half of the year. We had a little major change at the top and just want to feel a little different for everybody and want to keep everybody kind of on their toes and antenna up. And that was the thought process behind it and with a lot of the things we're doing.
Just need that change. And I think that anywhere, like you mentioned, Rizzi could implement something to just be different going into this week, he did it.
Yeah, I think it kind of just underscored just how many things were still being done a certain way because Sean did them that way.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily even blame DA for that. I think it really goes back to the biggest mistake that this team made, which was the idea that trying to just continue the Sean Payton era was possible. And trying to just establish continuity so that you could keep that run going. It just, like, in hindsight, and I don't even blame them for doing it, in hindsight, it just never really got off the ground. And you saw, like, the result of that, especially this season when things really kind of went off the rails and you couldn't put them back on. But there's a lot more things than just that, and we don't even know all the things he changed. There's been a lot of scheduling changes, how they operate within the building. I think there's going to be more meetings in general with larger groups. One thing Darren asked the players to do is basically every day in the team meeting, sit next to somebody else. So you get kind of a different perspective, a different, you know, you're just looking at things a different way. It's funny because it's like, you think if they go out here and lose by 40, you all be joking like, oh, well, good thing they changed the locker room around and good thing they moved, you know, but at the same time, at least there's a, you know, it's, I think the word Alvin Kamara would use is intentional. It's all intentional. It's done with an idea in mind of, like, this is what we're going for, and this is what we need everyone to be on the same page. They've also been running practice a little differently. Derek Carr said that it's the most plays he's run in any individual practice. Darren doesn't want guys on the ground. He doesn't want guys sitting off to the side on the coolers resting. And, you know, hopefully that all kind of coalesces into better football and more disciplined football. But I do appreciate that he's not just coming in and saying everything that, you know, we're doing things the right way. We're doing everything we need to be doing, and we're not getting the results. Hopefully, if we continue to do that, we'll get the results. He's saying we clearly aren't doing things the right way. When you're not getting the results, you have to find ways to manufacture those results. And I think that's what became so frustrating over the course of the 7-game losing streak, is not hearing about changes, hearing about we're focused on the process, and we're, like, the process is sound, and it's all about
chopping wood.
Yeah, and so you know, and that might not lead to better results, but at least you can look at it and say, "Hey, we tried something."
One thing that is different that we don't get, the media doesn't get to see, is this new activation period before practice gets underway.
Yeah,
and I know you asked Rizzi to explain what that exactly is—that period before practice.
Imagine you're going to work out. And you shouldn't just go to the weight room and start lifting weights, right? Or you're going to go and you're going to go run go jogging for the layperson. I don't do a lot of jogging, unfortunately, but I need to. But you know, you shouldn't just go out there and just start lifting weights or just go pick up a basketball and just start playing basketball. That's how you tear your Achilles, or that's how you get hurt, right? So the activation is more of a sports science thing. We take those guys through an activation period so that when practice starts, they're actually already, you know, sweating, and they're already, you know, have already gone through. And warm, it's an activation is a fancy name for a warm up. When I was growing up, we were in warm up. Now it's activation, you know. So, but they go through an activation period and let the sports science guys and the strength staff kind of decide what's the best way to get those guys activated. But, you know, it used to be something that was kind of voluntary, and then we did our stretch period. We made it a mandatory thing here just to try to change it up a little bit.
We'll get into the injuries, but yeah, with a lot of the soft tissue issues with this squad, it kind of makes a ton of sense that you're having a warm-up before you actually get out there and start doing any real football activities.
Yeah, and I mean, that is backed up by sports science. Like, generally speaking, you're supposed to do dynamic stretching prior to activity, static stretching after activity. That's kind of just a baseline of idea of, like, hey, this is how you prevent injuries. And, you know, I appreciate that they're being a little more proactive with it. Clearly didn't work for Jamal Williams, who re-aggravated his groin injury in practice. But, you know, it's not going to eliminate injuries. Again, it's just, hey, let's try something different. Let's do something different. To DA's credit, this is something that they were talking about last week before he was fired.
It wasn't just implemented.
It wasn't like Darren showed up on Monday morning and was like, guys, we are doing this now. Like, that was already – it was going to happen either way. But I think it was Darren's suggestion. And that's where you're going to see a lot. You know, one thing that Darren was involved with a lot of – he was the assistant head coach. He was involved a lot with the game planning stuff. But DA had the final call. And one interesting thing that Darren said when he was on with us this week is, like, he was asked about that 4th-and-1 call near midfield where he punted. And he basically was like, I didn't like the call. I thought it was the wrong call, like going up there and trying to force him off sides and then taking the delay game and punting it. He was like, I would have gone for it. I would have called a timeout and made sure I had the perfect play that I wanted and gone for it because the analytics are on your side there. And I think there's a lot of things throughout the course of the week, throughout that game, throughout decision-making, where Darren might do it differently. And there's going to be things that Joe Woods is going to do differently than DA would have done differently. So, you know, different isn't always better. You know, maybe those were the wrong decisions. I don't know.
We'll find out soon enough.
I would have gone. Right. But I do think you're going to see this Saints team under Joe Woods, under Darren Rizzi, in this new kind of format, be a little bit more aggressive and be a little bit more kind of caution to the winds than DA, who I think was always kind of ingrained. I'm a defensive guy. I'm going to play it safe in a lot of situations and rely on my defense to go win me a game. I think Darren's going to err a little more to the other side.
Here on First Take, getting ready for the Saints' noon start against the Atlanta Falcons, who are leading the NFC South. Big rivalry game for the black and gold. Also a big day for Alvin Kamara. Just needs 11 yards to tie the all-time record for rushing yards in this franchise. 12 to break it, surpassing his good buddy Mark Ingram. We'll hear from AK. We'll hear from Ingram. Also, Derek Carr, Alante Taylor, Blake Groupie coming back with more First Take after the break. So stay tuned here on WW.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome back into First Take. Good morning, everybody. Saints game day as we get ready for the Dirty Birds. Atlanta Falcons 6-3 taking on the Saints 2-7, have dropped 7 in a row since back-to-back wins to start the season seems oh so long ago. And also, we kind of joked about it, Jeff. Seems oh so long ago we were back in this Superdome. Been a while, you know, considering the Thursday game and then going into last week on the road as well. And back here, it just seems like, you know, almost like a month, and it might be around that we've been in the Superdome.
Yeah, more than 2 weeks. And, you know, anytime you have a coaching change in between home games, it feels like, man, what a weird thing. I am curious to see how this crowd reacts to it, because I do think that, you know, one of the big points of frustration was Dennis Allen and,
sure,
and the fact that things weren't going well, and you know, a lot of people wanted change, they got change. Will that satisfy? How far will that go?
Just
I don't
win,
know.
Baby. Right.
Yeah.
Looking at right now, LCMC Health Update. LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. That brings us to the Saints injury rundown for this matchup in Week 10. Out for this game, Jeff, we know Cedric Wilson Jr., Kool-Aid McKinstry, Chris Olave, Lucas Patrick, and I believe Eric McCoy, who is doubtful, was downgraded to out. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Listed as questionable for the game, JT Gray, Rico Payton, Jamal Williams, John Ridgeway, Will Harris, Shane Lemieux, and Nephi Sewell going into the matchup. And also some roster elevations for the team. Defensive back Will Harris and guard center Shane Lemieux are activated from injured reserve. They placed receiver Chris Olave and IR and have elevated wide receivers Kevin Austin Jr. and Dante Pettis to the active roster for this matchup against the Falcons. So obviously the team needs help at wide receiver right now with guys down in Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave, and we're just worried about not just this game for Olave, but his future, not just this season, even too, going forward as a whole.
Yeah, Nephi Sewell was also downgraded to out.
Just to
add that. No, one of the interesting things the Saints did this week was, you know, they didn't elevate Equanimeous St. Brown, a guy who I believe had one more potential elevation they could have gone with. He's been elevated each of the last 2 weeks. They decided instead to go with Kevin Austin Jr.
Right.
and Dante Pettis. So we'll see if, you know, maybe they have a bigger involvement in the passing game. Because yeah, it's a bear covered there at wide receiver. You got
your ex receiver right now,
Mason Tipton.
I was gonna say Scantling.
Maybe Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But you know, the entire Saints wide receiver room that they'll be sending out there has combined for 15 catches and 104 yards on the season as a whole. And I did that from memory because it's such an easy number to remember because it's not very big. And 14 of those catches for 99 yards have been to Mason Tipton. I don't know if I even remember any of those catches. They weren't in big moments. You know, I think he has 26 targets, and those missed opportunities are more impactful.
I was going to say, I definitely remember that more.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's definitely not something that you look at as a strength in this matchup. You know, I actually like Kevin Austin Jr. I think he had a strong camp, and they kept him around for a reason. He's a bigger guy, so I think that he could be an option over the middle of the field in ways that a guy like Dante Pettis really isn't going to do for you. Mason Tipton isn't really going to do for you. And you have Jermaine Jackson, a slight-of-frame guy. Right? And then you have Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who he's a bigger guy, but he's more of a speed guy. He just showed up 2 weeks ago. He's going to be your down-the-field option. But he's not a guy I'm going to throw to over the middle of the field either. So, you know, I think that's kind of the idea with Kevin Austin. If you get him involved, is he can be kind of that bigger receiver that you just don't have otherwise. This has got to be a day for Juwan Johnson. Like, he's got to be a heavily involved player. You got to go get him the ball. And obviously, Alvin Kamara is going to be heavily involved, too.
Right.
But
Taysom's an Atlanta killer.
Taysom is an Atlanta killer. I'm starting him in both of my fantasy leagues
today. There you go,
right. Because I don't know how you're going to do anything but use Taysom Hill. But this is the game he got hurt in week 4. So you got to be careful there, too, because you want him to make it to the end. But no, wide receiver. You know, I jokingly go back to the 2021 season a lot when you're talking about the wide receiver room, because that's one of the least intimidating wide receiver rooms I've ever seen, with Marquez Callaway, Tre'Quan Smith, Deonte Hardy as kind of your top 3 guys. You're back there. That's where you are right now. And you know, in a game where you're like, hey, can we end the skid? Usually you'd say, hey, yeah, you bring in an interim head coach, you're gonna get a lot of positivity, like we talked about.
A nice bump, right?
At a certain point, you just don't have the firepower, and I think if you can't keep this game low scoring, I just don't see a scenario where you win it with that array of receivers. Because, like, you saw, like, that's the thing. When you got the ball back against the Panthers, and you're like, hey, all we need to do is drive in a field goal range. And it was like, yeah, but who are you throwing to?
Right.
Who are you throwing to in that situation? Who's your star? Who's your go-to option? And they completed one pass to Juwan Johnson. You get to midfield, and then there was nobody else. Cedric Wilson is not out here this week. He's dealing with a shoulder injury, and he was dealing with a shoulder injury in that game. I was surprised he went back to it. He left midway through to get x-rays on his shoulder, came back. Clearly, it's something that's still bothering him, considering he's not out here. So, yeah, if you get into a situation where you got to throw the ball, I don't know if it's going to go well for you.
I think you brought it up, too, and I looking back over at that play where obviously everyone was so crucial on that fourth down, and it was the jump ball to Cedric Wilson Jr. It was actually not a bad ball by Derek Carr.
No, it was a solid throw. He could have caught that.
Right.
The thing is, like, you get one of the reasons I was frustrated with that decision was not necessarily what he did. It was the fact that it's like KYP, right? I think Antonio Daniels says this on the Pelicans broadcast. Know your personnel, right? Like, you're not throwing a Chris Olave on that ball. Like, that doesn't – it's not that dissimilar to some of the decisions Derek made in his first season against the Titans. He went deep down the field to Rashid Shaheed in a situation like that. Against the Panthers in week two last year, he went down the field to Rashid Shaheed in a situation like that. Like, it's not a terrible idea, but you're throwing to Cedric Wilson and not Chris Olave. So that's got to factor in. You can't just pick your matchup and say, well, he's my number one receiver. Like, yeah, well, it's different than it was at the beginning of the game. So we'll see. But you mentioned it going in. You know, Chris Olave on injured reserve. I think that was predictable. I don't think anyone should be surprised that he landed on injured reserve.
There was a rough hit. Who the guy on the Panthers
got fined,
was fined, right?
Woods got fined. He should,
15 that grand, was, I think?
16, something in that range. But, yeah, I mean, you can't – you know, the whole bad ball thing, like, yeah, it was a bad ball, but it's like if you got guys going for the heads of players who do not have the ball
like
in their
torpedo,
hands.
Like a torpedo, right.
Like, yeah, the people are going to get hurt. I don't care what the throw is. That could have been a perfect throw. If he's going to go at somebody's head, you're going to get hurt. And Darren Rizzi was asked about that, and if he thought that should have merited an ejection.
No comment,
He had a very veteran head coach response, which is, I'm not going to answer that because it's not going to go down a good road, which is kind of an answer for you on its own. Like, either way – Chris has had two concussions in the span of a month. He's had four concussions since he arrived in the NFL. One was in his rookie season against the Seahawks. One was in his second season against the Falcons. One was this season against the Broncos. That was the game Spencer Rattler started. And the most recent one was that game. And then he was checked for a concussion against the Chargers, too. And after a big hit, he got cleared and came back in.
Right.
But he also had a concussion at Ohio State. And so he's at the point now where you genuinely have to look at it and say, are these concussions going to shorten his career? The same way Tua Tagovailoa has to answer those questions in Miami. And when he comes back, I think he should probably wear a Guardian cap, you know, just like Tua should be in Miami. But
I know we talked about this, too. In that situation, though, with that hit that Olave took, I don't even know if a Guardian cap was saving him in that situation.
No, I don't think so either. But either way, it's like you got to – but, like, the hit – you know, both of his concussions this year, it's not like they've come when, like, his head hit in the ground. They've come with head-to-head collisions with defenders.
Right.
And the frustrating thing is the first one didn't even merit a penalty. But either way, you know, for Chris, it's about more than football right now, and I think that's where the Saints are being smart, and Darren talked about this. It's like we're not even talking about football right now. We're talking about Chris and what's best for Chris, and that's the only way you can approach the situation.
We talked about the Saints injuries, big one for the Falcons. Drake London is questionable in this game, but is still expected to play with a hip issue. Looking at the Saints secondary, though, we're not going to have Marshawn Lattimore out there this game. He's out in Washington after the Saints completed a trade with the Commanders.
He's not playing.
He is not playing.
So I think that's – I'm not saying I'm happy about him not playing. But
he's not miraculously healed from this
hamstring
issue.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of frustrating for Saints fans if suddenly he's out there like playing 100% of the snaps, right? So that's not happening, so we can at least put that to bed.
Looking at things, though, with no Marshawn, no Paulson, Adebo, obviously Kool-Aid McKinstry down. Who the heck did this team also have in the cornerback room in the secondary dealing with some issues there? Well, the main man, Alante Taylor, and he was asked about the trade of Lattimore and being back now at outside corner.
You know, he taught me so much, man. That's always going to be big, bro. As soon as I heard the news, he was the first person I called, and we talked a little bit. But, you know, you know, I take this position and this situation with gratitude. I'm grateful for it. And, you know, I got the next 8 weeks to kind of prove that, you know, I can be that CB1 for this team. I don't know what the long-term plans are, but I know for the short-term plans, this is where I'm at. And so, you know, I'm going to go out there and dominate and hold my end of my side of the field down.
hearing from Taylor, obviously wants to go out there, dominate, and he was also asked about that excitement about the possibility of moving from slot to the outside now on a permanent basis.
A lot, man. I've always said it since I walked in the building and I'm a corner. I can play the nickel and I kind of see things, right? It's like, oh, Alante is a slot corner. And it's like, well, before it was he's a corner. Why are we moving him to nickel? Now I do, decently well at nickel. Now I'm a nickel. But at the end of the day, man, I'm a corner at heart. And so, super excited for the opportunity. And, these next 8 weeks, we play some pretty good teams. I got good receivers. And my covering ability and all those things will be tested. And I'm looking forward to it.
I think Alante Taylor is a great example for obviously any player, but also like the young kids out there. You see someone that was asked to move to that slot position, wasn't exactly what he had in mind, didn't really feel like that was where he was the most comfortable, but it's what the coaches intended. It's what he wanted to do to get on the field as well. And now, that hard work and the willingness to be, I guess you would say, what's the
flexible
word? Flexible, right. Yeah,
committed.
And not being, a toot about it, right? You're not starting to whine about things, and I'm an outside corner.
Yeah.
Did his role, what he was asked to do, and now in the end, he gets to be where he wants and excited to see where he goes now going forward in this role because I think, obviously, it's pretty clear Alante's the future outside.
I think you got to figure that out, right? That's what this 8 weeks is about, in my opinion. You're trying to win games. Right, but first and foremost, you need to figure out what you have. And we got the NFL on Fox robots wandering through here right now. I've always wondered what they looked like in person. Now I know.
Transformers.
Robots not very well disguised. But, a big part of this last 8 weeks has got to be, figure out what you have in some of these young players. And on Alante Taylor outside, a lot of people, I had at least three or four people ask me, hey, do you think Alante is going to stay outside? I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, what's the benefit to moving him to the nickel now?
Right.
Other than, maybe he's your best nickel corner. But the thing is, why is he at nickel in the first place? It's not because you thought he was your best option. It's because he's your third best corner and you wanted to find a way to get him on the field. Remember, you cut Bradley Roby to get him on the field. It was
great
not
point,
like,
yeah.
He was not even practicing at nickel throughout the course of camp. He was competing with Adebo on the outside in his camp last year. And I do think that was probably a source of frustration there, whether Alante verbalized it or not, in terms of I am an outside corner. I'm not better at the nickel than I am outside, but I'm doing it, and I'm committing to it. And late in the season, there was definitely some frustration. He was benched in two of his last three games.
Sure.
That said, you appreciate how he came into this camp. You appreciate the work he did and the willingness to commit to that position. And he got a lot better at it. He's been really solid in the nickel throughout the course of this season. He's been one of the NFL's better players at disrupting plays and being in the backfield and breaking up passes and making tackles. And I still don't think he's the best – I don't think he's built for the nickel. That said, he learned how to play it, and he's played it well. And I think over the course of his career, that's going to benefit him financially, right?
Amen,
when you're a guy
right.
who can play the nickel, especially later in your career, when you get into year 8, 9, 10, and maybe they're like, yeah, we got better options on the outside, the ability to just kick in and play nickel is going to extend his career 3-4 years down the line. Look at a Chris Harris, right? A guy that's kept getting jobs because he could play that role. So, I like that about him. I think he's going to look back and say, I'm better for that. That said, he is your best outside corner, so you play him outside. And I think he has a chance to be a really, really good outside corner. I thought he played really well against the Panthers at a position he has not been practicing at. And that said, it's the Panthers, right? You don't want to overreact to anything about with a passing game with Bryce Young.
Overreacting to anything this season.
So now you look at it and say, what can you do in this matchup? And you're going to look at it next week and say, what can you do in that matchup? And I think that's going to determine, and hopefully you get Kool-Aid back at some point in the near future, and you can kind of ride with them on the outside and say, hey, is this our cornerback tandem of the future? Are these the two guys that we can rely on? Or do we have to be looking at corner high in the next draft and building
probably.
Up that again? And even if they feel like they're good, feel good about those two guys, they probably do anyway. But even for Alante, he's a second-round picker member, so there's no fifth-year option with him. So I think this 8 games is going to go a long way in determining, do we try to extend him before the start of next season? And if I'm Alante, I'm looking at the guy who is next to me in the locker room and saying, well, I just saw what can happen if you don't have that security of that long-term deal and Paulson Adebo going to that contract year, and that can change a lot in a hurry. So if I'm Alante, I probably am willing to play ball inside an extension. So it's really a question of whether you think that makes sense, and that's what you need to figure out if you're the Saints over this next 8 games. Is he that cornerstone cornerback that you can build around. I think he is, and I'm excited to see what he does.
As we head to break, Jeff, what do you think the Saints end up doing today with that depth at corner position alongside Alante on the outside? Is it going to be Rico if he can play, or Shamar John Charles?
It's tough to say. Rico Pitton should be out there. I think he would have gotten the start last week if he was healthy, so I would expect it to be Rico.
Is he a back injury?
He had a back injury. Okay, yeah, he had a back issue, but he was close to playing. And I think the fact that they were even willing to ride it out till Sunday tells you a lot about how they feel about him. Like, he's a UDFA, and you were looking at him as being your starting outside corner probably. So I would expect it to be him. I would expect Ugo Amadi to stick in the slot.
Right.
But, you know, it could just as easily be Shamar, and I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they switch some things up and do some sub-packages with both of those guys. Shamar had the interception. You really like what he did on that play. I don't think he had a great game otherwise. He was serviceable. He went into a difficult spot, and I think he played reasonably well. But I think they really like Rico, and they want to see what he has.
Going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out. Wide receiver and corner, huge question for this team due to injuries. We're here on First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Taking a break. We'll be right back after with more. Give us a call on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. Let us hear what you're up to this game day, heading into a matchup against those Dirty Birds right here on WWL. Back here on First Take inside the Caesars Superdome as we get ready for that noon kickoff coming up on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Also, 10 a.m., the Cajun Cannon will be joining us for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff. Get his take, a unique perspective, obviously, since he's played for both teams with the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints, and big matchup today. I know a lot of fans are kind of cashed in and they're just focusing on the Saints improving their draft stock at this point, but if there is one game that you got to win on the remaining part of this schedule, a matchup against your most hated rival, the Atlanta Falcons, in your Caesar Superdome after losing to them already earlier this year, it's kind of you've been in must-win game situation, but I can think that the fans would be on board of coming away with the victory today too, because Monday would be a lot better saying, hey, at least we beat the Falcons.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think, you know, 2-7 is a bummer, and I, you know, my wife Claire asked me, I was like, hey, wouldn't it be better if the Saints lost? As an analyst, shouldn't you be like talking about, hey, you know, the Saints want the best draft pick possible, so the best case scenario is they lose their final eight games. And
sure.
I understand why,
right,
in a vacuum you would say that, but at the end of the day, sports is about entertainment. And I grew up in Connecticut. I watched a lot of Giants seasons that went exactly like this. Right?
Jerseys, you know,
they had two Super Bowl seasons, but around those Super Bowl seasons was abject misery at all times. And you know, I kind of, like, there were seasons where I was like, hey, it's week 12 and you're basically out of it, and like, okay, but I still want to watch a team win. I still want to watch a team go out there and give me hope that, hey, you know, things haven't gone well this season, but you're building, and there are reasons to keep going to the games, right? And so that's kind of where I think most fans in the middle of the week, where you're like, oh, we're tied for the worst record in the NFL, we might get the number one pick. You sit in the seat at a game, you're not rooting for a draft pick. You are rooting for your team, and you're rooting for that team to go out there and do something that's worth cheering for. You can get on Twitter after the game and start hashing it out with Falcons fans who are suddenly very sad. There's nothing more satisfying in a losing season.
We might stink, but what did it say
yeah,
about you?
Yeah, but hey, we still beat
you. Look at you.
We still beat you guys. Even in that season a few years back, it was like, you know, you didn't make the playoffs, but you beat the Falcons in Week 18, and it felt good. And last year obviously should have felt better than it did with the whole, you know, victory formation.
That was talked about too, honestly, when Dennis Allen.
It was.
You know,
it was. But at the end of the day, it's like, hey, we beat the Falcons in that game. I'm not gonna be mad about anything. You know, obviously, you want to make the playoffs, but I think that's the case today. Like, draft picks, worry about those later. Go win a game. And I don't think if the Saints go out and beat the Falcons today, anyone's going to be like, oh, man, but that ruins our draft stock. And if you are, reassess your priorities.
And you know what? Like you mentioned, I get it. That's how fans are going to think. And I think most people have that way of thinking. It's like, right now, you're just hurting your draft capital. You know, the spots you're going to end up moving down further instead of maximizing it. But as a team, as a franchise, you can't start instilling a losing culture. Like, hey, we're going into this game, we really don't care about it. In the end, we're just hoping that we don't get hurt and come away with the loss to just better improve our draft stock. That's not going to instill anybody to have inspiring football down the line, and it's just not right. Like good old Herm Edwards said, another
you play to win the game.
New Jersey reference there with the Jets. You play to win the game. We're going to break right here on First Take. We're playing to take the break, running a little long on Cullen Sarra. We'll take a break, be back with more as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up at 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon and Game Time. High Noon with Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas on the call, and Jeff on the sideline on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Be right back after this. Back here on First Take as we close out the 8 o'clock hour, getting ready for 10 a.m. in the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon joining us leading up to Game Time in the Caesars Superdome at High Noon between New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons, an NFC South matchup. Also in the NFC South in the division going on right now, we got the Carolina Panthers taking on the New York Giants in Munich. They are treated to a heck of a game out there now.
I was thinking this morning, hey, what did Germany ever do to deserve this? And thought better of it.
Yeah.
I think we all know.
Panthers up 7-0 right now. Bryce Young, 4-for-5 passing, 43 yards and a touchdown. Completed it to Javonte Sanders, a rookie tight end.
Jatavion.
We've
been having this conversation.
I've been bombing on his draft stock and his name. Jeez. But the Carolina Panthers up on the New York Giants early, and I know the question.
Fire.
The question mark with this G-Men squad, too, is how bad are they going to finish and end
bad.
Up in the draft?
They're going to be bad.
Going to be getting into more of this matchup between Saints and Falcons coming back after the break. Time for news now on WWL. Be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.